Welcome to On the Bench. I am your host for this episode, Brendan Sinone, joined by Chris Nee, Zach Blaustein. Fellas, it's a good old-fashioned official visit preview episode. We ready?
We are.
Are you ready, Brendan?
I think so. I'm just not allowed to talk about how we do a good job anymore because people will throw tantrums about it.
On with the show.
You suck. You guys both suck. You're awful at your jobs. Don't subscribe to Knowles 24/7. Let's start off with a rundown of the official visitors that we expect this weekend. We'll then do a little bit of scoop at the end of this episode. That's pretty much what this is going to be. Just a purified recruiting update show. Start off at the very top of the list, fellas. Wide receiver Hakeem Williams is coming to Florida State this weekend. I know FSU fans have been sweating this out for the last few weeks, but he has not gone to any other campuses. He's been everywhere other than college campuses. He's been in LA. I think he was in the Bahamas. My man has been all over the place. And I think that's a good thing because he will be in Tallahassee this weekend. He's 27th overall recruit nationally, 15th in the 24/7 sports updated rankings, a legitimate true five-star. Zachary, I'll let you start off with Hakeem Williams. What's going on with this recruitment? Anything new or is FSU feeling good here?
FSU is feeling really good with Hakeem. There were a few schools that tried to make a late run. You know, he told me after the UF game that he could take an official visit to Texas A&M. Does not look like that's going to happen. Miami tried to make a late run. Coach Chris Ball was hitting him up every single day, he told me at one point. And then Colorado is another school that there's some connection to Hakeem's family. They were trying to use that to get him on campus. That did not materialize either, to our knowledge. So, yeah, FSU sits in a great spot, right? There's less than a week till signing day. They're going to get him on an official visit this weekend. It's crazy to think that Hakeem, you know, for how long he's been targeted and committed, he hasn't used an official visit to FSU. They save it for this last weekend, which is huge. And you get him in, you know, the final impression before he signs next Wednesday.
This has been a masterful job by really the entire like collective of like FSU's coaching staff. Ron Dugans has done a great job. Mike Norvell's done a great job. It's been top to bottom like effort to get this secured early. Obviously, you had to have the proof of concept, right? Winning early, that's been huge for that to only build throughout the season. And yeah, you end up getting you have to feel really, really good with where you're at with Hakeem Williams going into this final stretch here. He's been a great ambassador for the program. He's been awesome. This has been huge for FSU.
And this will be, I believe, the sixth visit since it started. Well, no, fifth visit to FSU since the start of the season. He also watched FSU play down in Miami.
And the New Orleans game as well, right?
Yeah, I think I'm including that in that count. Yeah.
But that was to me, like, that was kind of when this all swung, where we thought they went from having a chance to, like, oh, they're actually, like, in it to win it at this point.
Pack the car. We're going to Lottie.
Let's go to the 201st overall prospect nationally. It's four-star defensive tackle Keith Sampson of New Bern, North Carolina, a guy who NC State has made a push for, but FSU has been very aggressive in trying to keep Keith Sampson in the boat. He's officially visiting this weekend. Zach, you had an update on that the other day. What's the latest on Keith, and are you feeling all right with where FSU stands for Keith going into the final stretch here?
Yeah, he took the visit to NC State this past weekend. I don't think I'm worried about his commitment at all. I think he's a solid pledge to FSU's class. The only thing to monitor is when we spoke, I believe it was either on Monday or Sunday, he was not sure whether he would be signing in December or pushing it back till February. And this isn't one of those cases where he wants to take more visits or anything. He set up a long time ago that he wanted to sign alongside his friends, you know, at high school. And I think their plan was to do that on like the traditional signing day in February. FSU would obviously prefer him to sign in December, but you know, they're being kind of casual about it trying to force him to do anything because
no, that's ridiculous. Zach. We're signed something and you can go through the ceremony.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't want to say that to him.
No, I'll say, well, you shouldn't say it to him,
I'll with him next time.
Yeah. I'll talk to him. Be like, what are we doing here? Okay.
Odell Higgins has been up here each week. This week he was accompanied by Adam Fuller. Last week he was accompanied by Mike Norvell. There was a point in Keith's commitment where there was some chatter that staying home, being closer to home might be in play. That had very much cooled since then. I'm not overly concerned. FSU's built a really, really good bond with Keith, and they value him a great deal, and I think he understands that another note on him, just won a state title in that state championship game. Every time he made a play, he popped up and was doing the tomahawk chop. So pretty good sign there.
That is a good sign. We'll take every little sign, every little morsel we can get right now as something significant. Chris, sticking with the trenches, I'm going to let you talk about this guy. The next couple I'm going to let you talk about because you're going to swoon over both of them. Let's start off with defensive end Lamont Green Jr., Boots, 250th prospect nationally from Miami, Gulliver Prep. He's had an awesome season. This guy's been as much of a null as anyone in this class. So let's just give him some praise and talk about this recruitment real quick.
Yeah, to some degree, a forgotten man because he's been committed for so long. He's a legacy. Him and his father are very big fans. His father obviously played here. Tons of Tallahassee ties for Lamont Jr. because of his dad's time up this way. Real solid player. He's gotten progressively better throughout his high school career. Super productive. He's going to work really hard, and he's going to be a guy that's entirely trustworthy in the sense of knowing you're going to get the best out of him consistently. Probably underappreciated just because it's been such a quiet recruitment. But, yeah, gets to come in this weekend, enjoy his official, and then he'll be here, I think, January 6th officially. And then the next man up is wide receiver all day Dre, Vandrevious Jacobs of Vero Beach, arguably the best wide receiver in the state of Florida from a production standpoint as a high schooler, 302nd nationally in the rankings currently. He is a four-star, well overdue to get that four-star and deserved. All day Dre's been a solid commitment, a guy that Ryan Bartow had put a huge role in initially, kind of getting FSU in there. Ron Dugans also did his job and did it at a high level. FSU stayed very consistent with Dre. Dre stayed consistent with them, hasn't really flirted with others. Mike Norvell was in the house, I believe it was last Thursday, if I remember correctly. And Dre will come up here this weekend and put the closing ceremonies in for his commitment sign, and he should be here soon as well.
What's the deal with one wide receiver commit who we don't have on the list, Goldie Lawrence from Sanford Seminole? What's happening there?
I was told he originally was on for this weekend for an official. I was told yesterday early in the day that he had a school-related matter that would not allow him to come in this weekend, and it was as simple as that. I didn't really poke much more nor dig. You know, I may in the coming days just make sure everything's the same, and the expectation is that he signs next week. You know, there's been some UCF chatter there. Sorry. I mixed up those directional schools in the middle of the state, buddy. I'm sorry about that.
2017 national championship. What?
But yeah, there was some chatter there with UCF, but that had calmed down. I don't think it's a concern, but I'll keep checking on Goldie just to make sure that nothing has changed there as we lead up to Wednesday.
Well, let's talk about one wide receiver who is not committed to Florida State, committed elsewhere, that we have on the list here for an official visit. This will be interesting to see if this goes through as expected, and that is UF commit wide receiver Andy Jean, 358th prospect nationally in the 24/7 Sports Composite. That puts him at a four-star still, a guy that FSU's been kicking the tires on for a while and trying to get into this class potentially, and he will show up to campus, as we believe right now, recording this on a Thursday morning. Whoever wants to take it, go.
Yeah, I'll take it. So Steve Wolfong reported this news on Most 24/7. I believe it was yesterday. A pretty big deal. He was a guy that was at the UF game and kind of was low-key about it, didn't want to do interviews, but he was there on the Friday night for the game and then stayed on Saturday to spend some more time with the coaching staff. Declined, interviews afterwards, like I said, but it was clear that there was at least some interest there, right, for him to not only attend the game, but also come the day afterwards and spend more time around Coach Norvell and the FSU coaching staff. And we were told, early on in the season that the expectation was that FSU was going to get a December official visit from Andy G. That was the case before he committed to Florida and the case after he committed. It seems like right now, obviously, Andy Jean's from South Florida, and anything can change in a South Florida recruitment, as you guys know. We'll see if he actually does end up making it. But the plan as of Wednesday was that he is on the list and expected in by Florida State.
To add to Zach's point, back around, October 22nd was a bye week for FSU, is that right, that day? That's right. So around that time, FSU did some recruiting, came back, organized, had meetings, and kind of figured out the plan, the march to the end of November, end of the season, and into December for officials. And obviously the thing that adjusts in that conversation is guys entering the transfer portal. But in the case of Andy Jean, similar to Edwin Joseph, Reuben Bain, there was talk at that point, end of October, that he would come in December 9th. They thought they would get all three of those guys in on December 9th. They ended up getting Joseph and Bane last weekend, getting Gene this weekend. So it's been expected throughout. He also made it for the Florida game, which kind of continued the conversation of it. It was noticeable that the interest was still there. And yes, he has a Florida commitment. So he came to that game for a two-pronged reason: to watch the team he's committed to, also to watch a team that was actively still recruiting him and he still had some level of interest in. We'll see how this weekend develops. I'm not going to sit here and say I think that a flip is likely, but I think it does say something that this has been a consistent theme with FSU and Gene, you know, really since the summer and definitely since September and certainly since mid-October, and it's just continued. There's something about the consistency of that that makes you think, yeah, you know, he's going to give him a fair shake this weekend, but we'll see how it all plays out.
It'll be a fun one to follow along with here. Going back to commitments, safety KJ Kirkland from Jacksonville area, 542nd player nationally. Chris, this seems like this has been a pretty solid, steady recruitment. Not a whole lot of drama here.
Yeah, I mean, KJ is a kid that we actually went over to Jacksonville area and caught up with. Zach got some video with him about his recruitment and about his commitment on the same day. He's never wavered one bit. He's been an ultra consistent with FSU. Norvell went over there very early in this period where he's able to hit the road and see guys and checked in on them. And yeah, Kirkland is as solid as they come and excited to be a Seminole and looking forward to it. And he's a big kid. He's a talented, athletic, big body safety. I'm intrigued by what he might become for FSU because they do so much with their safeties. They allow him to play kind of all over the field.
Zach, Chris said doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
Grow up.
Cornerback Jabril Rawls from Pensacola area, 720th nationally. The FSU got good value here. Would you rather – I'm not going to go down that road. Never mind. He's a good value in the NIL era. He's someone that you didn't have to go after aggressively, relatively local, someone who has a lot of upside still, moves well, physical, a lot to like there. So he's official visiting as well. I'm a fan of his game. And, again, keyword there is value.
Yeah, two quick points on Rawls, and I'll hand it off to Zach if he wants to say something about him. He came to FSU's end of summer event, worked out. They really liked him. He got the official offer from FSU a couple days later. He committed on that day. Yeah, I think it kind of speaks to they had rubber stamped it, and he said yes. And that's sort of how that thing went. And he's very solid. He's been to a bunch of games here this year. So FSU likes him. Yeah, they make their own evaluations and they kind of roll with it. And yes, I know DB recruiting here has been a bit of a strange bird consistently, but he's a kid that, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that they essentially told him at the end of summer event that, yes, we want you in the fold here. And when that official offer came, he jumped on it officially.
Yeah, I think the one thing to note about him and making the transition to the next level is he needs to put on some weight. He's very thin right now. But you can see all the other intangibles that he has in his game. He's a two-way player for Pensacola Catholic and a guy that, you know, Dane and I watched in person and were really impressed with. So we're literally freezing our hands off while watching him. Pensacola Catholic played Florida High.
Were you literally freezing your hands off?
We had to have the hand warmers going. It was
so bad. You were at risk of hypothermia.
Moving on. Christopher Otto.
Literal.
Three-star offensive lineman that FSU is bringing in this weekend. He's a longtime target. Chris, I know you want to talk about Otto a ton. That's your guy. But Christopher Otto is a guy that Alex Atkins identified early, a high academic kid who's already taken an official visit to Princeton and Stanford, and a few others that Chris will note on in a second.
Yeah, he also went to Syracuse here recently. I think those are the three officials he's taken. Penn State's also involved in trying to get him to hold over until January to take a visit there. He's been a little back and forth on whether or not he will decide and sign in December. He's previously told me he did not intend to do that. I think to some degree, FSU's going for the close this weekend. It would be fantastic if they're able to do so. As Zach noted, very smart kid, super involved in film. That's kind of his thing. He would love to go to the College of Arts / film school at FSU or somewhere. That's something that's extremely appealing to him. He's also a wrestler. He's a big bodied kid. I like a ton of the things he brings to the table, both personality wise and ability wise. I think he's a very, very talented dude. The other thing I like about him is that he can play a multitude of positions. I think he could easily play center, obviously both guard spots. I think you can even get away with him at tackle. So he brings a great deal of versatility. The body's good. The feet are good. The strength is good. There's a whole lot to like about the young man. FSU, I feel like, has been the pace car in that recruitment largely, especially over the football season since September rolled around. And I think that continues. And he's definitely a kid that I believe FSU values a great deal from past conversations on.
I would take him. I've confirmed that multiple times that Chris Otto is a take for FSU. And like Chris said, I think this is the type of guy you want in your program. And I think he has some really high upside, man. Like, there's just a lot to like about both his game and, you know, some of the off-field stuff. Like, him being a film student, that kind of fits in perfectly at Florida State, because FSU's film program is, from what I understand, top five nationally. I mean, they admit very little students every year. I think it's like under 20 every year into that program. It's really competitive from what I understand. And that's a really attractive option for Otto, who I believe will get a tour of the film school on his official visit this weekend. That'll be an important factor of that recruitment. But he's a guy that you know, he's picked up steam as of late. A lot more schools like Penn State have gotten involved, but FSU's been the constant there. They had him on campus for that end of summer event, and he got to work out with Alex Atkins, and he held his own against, you know, some of FSU's defensive line commits and, you know, some other targets that were there in attendance for that camp. A guy that I really like, and a guy that I hope FSU adds to this class, because he's a guy that would truly help them out, in my opinion.
So that's what we have for the high school visitors. But as you guys well know, it is the season. It's portal season. So there are transfer portal visitors as well that we have to get to. And before we go fully into that topic, I know people are going to want to know, are there any surprise visitors? Anyone secret? You know, that's going to be sneaking in. If it was a secret. Wait, no. If it was a surprise. No, I don't know how to say it.
Boy, do you have to edit this part.
No, I don't mind keeping it in that I sound a little doofy sometimes. It's organic. It's okay. We do not know of any surprises. And
well, Brendan doesn't know.
Oh.
All right, Zach. Well, then go ahead. What do you got?
That's a surprise. If it was a secret, then if it was a surprise, then I don't know. Let's get into
All right, let's get into it. Let's start off with an FSU commitment. That is defensive lineman Daryl Jackson. He flipped. Well, is it considered a flip if he that's the ultimate flip, right? You went to school for a year, said, nah, I'm okay here, and then you go somewhere else?
Yeah, I would say something quick, and then I'll hand it off to Zach, because that's his dude. Long journey to get to the place I think he always wanted to be. He started at Gadsden County. He ended up at Maryland, ended up at Miami. Now he's coming home.
Yeah. He was a guy that projected really well just based off of measurables in high school, but really filled out his frame when he got to Maryland and was a guy that contributed for them as a true freshman. He entered the portal last offseason and chose Miami mainly over UF. Those are the kind of two schools battling it out. FSU is kind of involved in that recruitment. They got him in for an unofficial visit, and he had a planned official visit but never made it. Miami was the school that got him last cycle. He played down there for one season, you know, pretty productive season, and only 1 year down there. And then, you know, some issues came up with his mom. We've already talked about this, but some issues came up with his mom's medical situation. He wanted to be closer to home. FSU is the perfect opportunity for him to do that while also applying for a hardship waiver to be possibly eligible for the 2023 season. That's what he's going through right now. He'll be on an official visit this weekend just to kind of, you know, get around the coaching staff again that he knows very well. Coach Corey Fuller, off-field staffer at FSU, former FSU great. He was Daryl Jackson's high school head coach at Gadsden County. Josh Farmer's FSU defensive tackle used to play with Daryl Jackson in high school as well. There's a lot of connections at FSU, obviously, from him being close to this area or being from close to this area. So, yeah, it's a great fit. And, you know, here's hoping that he can get the waiver. The NCAA doesn't do something stupid and doesn't approve that waiver. You know, that's a big challenge for the NCAA, especially recently. But we'll see. I think there's a good chance that he gets the waiver and is able to play next season.
Hope he doesn't get Bob-ud is what you're trying to say.
Yes.
Let's stick
with we weren't talking basketball in this podcast. Two in a row, baby.
Let's go.
How do I mute Chris? All right, Chris, let's talk about the trenches. Let's stick with the trenches, moving the offensive side of the ball. Let's start off with Casey Roddick, Colorado transfer. Someone who's been on the radar for a few weeks now for FSU, which in the portal, like portal cycle, that's 2 weeks of interest is like an eternity. So yeah. let's talk about this dude.
Yeah, soon after he hit, there was a good bit of chatter that FSU was the destination. I think there was even a Twitter bio profile change for him. He did visit NC State last weekend, so he is open to others. But FSU's been kind of the constant with him since the moment he hit. Alex Atkins was in the house last week. He FaceTimed with Mike Norvell last week, for example. He is coming in this week. Yeah, you know, Casey's kind of kept a low profile with it all. I think Oklahoma, Baylor, there was somebody else that he mentioned along the way. But it would not shock me if coming off this weekend, he's ready to decide during this early signing period. He doesn't take it to that first weekend in January when transfers can take a couple more visits. He would be probably most likely an interior guy, or he almost certainly would be an interior guy, most likely a guard. I think he's a guy that could easily fill a role left vacated by Dylan Gibbons or Meech's departure.
Another offensive lineman worth noting who's going to be taking an official visit here is Auburn transfer Keandre Jones from LaGrange, Georgia, which is pretty far west, almost kind of like Alabama demographically, kind of right there on the border. Central Georgia for those who like Georgia's geography. Shout out Ingram Smith. Zach, let's talk about Keandre. He's a 2.5-year starter there at Auburn, a guy who's taken some other visits. What's the scoop of the intel on this visitor?
Yeah, another guy that has a lot of connections to Florida State, meaning he knows a lot of players, current players on the roster. We talked about this on the last pod, but Winston Wright is someone that he knows very well, who's been personally advocating for Jones to come to Florida State. He's been helping out FSU in that recruitment. He's taken, to my understanding, this is hard to pick up because Jones is not very communicative with the media. So I know he's taken an official visit to West Virginia. I believe he's taken an official to Pitt and then UCF as well. Those are the three schools that I've heard that are involved. UCF may be trying to get him on campus, possibly on Sunday for like a last minute thing after his FSU visit. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but that was a thing that had been discussed within the last week and FSU was made aware of that. They found out about that. So that might help them kind of prevent that from happening. But this is a recruitment that I kind of feel strangely confident about. Do you feel the same way, Brennan?
I do. I think if FSU wants him, FSU will get him. Do we know, can FSU, I'm not saying they're going to, just more general question, because you're going to bring in, I mean, you have two offensive linemen this week. You had Jeremiah Byers last week, and I've heard good things since then about where FSU stands. I still don't think his recruitment's going to go beyond, you know, it'll probably decide within the dead period here, but he visited Maryland. We know Oregon's in the mix.
Ohio State offered.
Offered. So we will see what happens. I do think FSU's been in a good spot if he wants to make a quick decision still. If he obviously wants to draw things out, we'll see. But we know like John Campbell's a name that it when he does enter the portal, the Miami transfer, like I would expect FSU to kick the tires there. He's a true tackle body from Orlando, like from Florida. So like that's it. You're going to keep expanding your offensive line board, I think, throughout this offseason, keep seeing who you're going to take. I wonder how many transfers FSU is going to bring in on the offensive line. I don't have a great answer to that right now. So question for you guys, like with two guard types, these are both guards that they're bringing in this weekend. Like, can you work them out? Do you have an idea to like, is that allowed? A thing you're allowed to do on an official visit to kind of see like
no.
moves the way you want? Or is that something that's not allowed?
Not during this time of year. Yeah, I don't believe so.
It'd have to be like during the summer. That's okay.
Jazz did that. Jazz mm-hmm. came in and worked out for FSU. Before FSU greenlighted that, there was a slight individual workout for Jazz Turnitin.
Okay.
Yeah. It's only during certain portions of the recruiting calendar.
Yeah, I was more curious just like the so it's not going to happen at this point. I was more curious just if like FSU is trying to vet and figure out like, okay, how we're going to allocate these scholarships, how many offensive linemen can we take? Because you have young players still you're trying to get reps to. You like the nucleus that you're bringing back. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, I think Keandre Jones, if FSU wants him, I think FSU will get him.
So on that point, I'll add, I think with Portal, you recruit – if you want two, you recruit three. If you want three, you recruit four or five. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of you got to, and you recruit them simultaneously. And obviously you got to navigate some waters there with who you truly want, what the pecking order is, but you just got to do it. So like a guy like Byers, yeah, I think they feel good about him, but obviously he keeps picking up steam. Oregon's one that's pushing for a weekend visit. Ohio State comes in the door last night. So while you felt great about him a week ago, and you still probably feel pretty good about him now, and he probably is giving you good feedback, you just got to be prepared because the rug can get pulled out from underneath you. And if you're trying to get these guys in January 6th for when school begins, right? I think it's January 6th for FSU next year.
Or January 6th.
Yeah, in that ballpark. So if you're trying to get dudes in there, you just got to be prepared to do it now. So, like, obviously there's a little bit of a playing a balancing act right now. One other thing I'll bring up on Keandre Jones, just from a discussion standpoint, not particularly good this past season. But 2 years ago, he was. Is that mm-hmm. correct way of describing it?
Now? He was good in 2020 and 2021. So 2022, he got benched. But also, Auburn in 2022 was dysfunctional. Yeah. So, yeah, I would imagine.
I'm not knocking a kid. I'm just trying to make sure that's presented as it should be.
If you were drafting guys, like, I'm sure you would have Byers 1, you would probably have Roddick 2, and Kendre Jones 3, but yeah. You don't know what, like, do you look a gift horse in the mouth? Like, if he wants to commit, do you say no and then roll the dice? And that's why coaches are paid six figures.
I don't think they bring him on an official to not take his commitment if he wants.
From a number standpoint, you lose Gibbons, you lose Meech, Lloyd Willis and Rod Orr are leaving the program. Am I forgetting someone? I feel like I'm forgetting at least one.
Jazz, right?
Jazz has run out of eligibility.
That's five. And we assume that there could be more too. I'm not saying that there's going to be. I'm just like logically, like Zane Herring could say, I could play more here, especially if I see two transfers at guard come in. I can play more.
Caden Lyles is another guy who may not continue playing football.
I have been told that he will probably medically retire, but we'll see. We'll see. Right. I'm sure he'll announce that.
That would push it to six. And you want, if you can have, I mean, hell, if you can have 13 really good O-linemen, that's fantastic. That's a
dream.
O-line coach's dream. But you want 8 to 10. So mm-hmm. it's not just about finding guys that can start. But FSU is certainly in a search for guards, guys who can help. Because that position, you got Bryson Estes and you've got some other young guys that you like, it's better to have options than be stuck with just a guy you like.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But those are good problems to have, right? Like you're adding quality experience off the lineman to the room potentially. That's thumbs up. Like you will take it. Think about how far back, like 2 years ago, would you have even considered like, oh, do they need to take Keandre Jones? Like, yes, please. You have a pulse. So they're moving on up in that regard. Sticking with the trenches, going back to the defensive line, Braden Fisk from Western Michigan, guy who we've reported on, taking a visit. We talked to him the other day. Someone who I think FSU is in a really good spot for. Now, Notre Dame is considered like your top competition. That's a local team for him. He's mentioned before that staying close to home is a priority. But the two bigger priorities are, one, the path to playing time, which he would be a starter at Florida State. There's very little doubt in my mind. And then two, development. And how he would be developed in his lone year as a graduate transfer on any campus, because he has only a finite window to make an impact, to progress, to prepare himself as best as he can for the NFL draft. And he's a draft pick in my estimation. So that is what he's going to be looking at this weekend at Florida State. I think, fellas, it's a Friday-Saturday deal based on what he told me. I'm not sure if that means there's a Sunday visit somewhere else right now. He's trying to put all this, like, just like all these transfers, you're trying to make a bunch of decisions in a short period of time. Maybe there's another visit. We'll try to follow along and see if we can find that out. But FSU is in a good spot. Finally, Fentrell Dewsypress, the number 2 transfer prospect in the country per the 24/7 sports rankings. Had an amazing year at Virginia. I think Chris put him as an all ACC first teamer on his ballot. Is that right, Christopher?
I did.
All right. First teamer. He is someone who we have reported FSU expects to visit this weekend. A little bit of news on this podcast. Not yet up on the Noles 24/7 message board. I'm sure it will be in short order. He will arrive in Tallahassee Thursday evening, I am told, for his official visit. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate you helping.
I think most of the official visitors are arriving tonight.
Okay.
Sorry to like burst your bubble, but
I can confirm that he is arriving tonight. And Mr. Bubble Burster, by the way, you sound sick again. And I, gross, Jesus. I believe going that was disgusting. Like, this is audio medium, people are going to hear that. You know what?
That was Chris, guys.
That was not me. Jeez. Consult a doctor, Zachary. Jeez. buddy.
My favorite thing to do at an FSU press conference is if I say something stupid, like, and I realize there's a live mic nearby, I'm like, I'm Corey Clark. So that was Corey Clark who did that. anyways, back to the news. I'm glad, like, the most important thing we've talked about on this podcast so far has been derailed by Zach being kind of a douche and then Zach being gross. Thank you, Zach. And that is that Federal Cypress going into the week, we expect him to be at Florida State for an official visit, but we were trying to decipher, and it's been hard to figure out because Deuce has been fairly buttoned up and quiet. But that is whether he would take official visits elsewhere this week. He went to UCLA last week. That's the only other known official visit, and someone we expected to take multiple officials this week as he tries to narrow in on a decision. Here's what I'm told. I don't think he's visiting anywhere else. I think it's Florida State and exclusively Florida State. Well, that's as I can gather. Okay. Central
told me himself he doesn't have any other visits set up.
When did he tell you that, Gross?
Yesterday.
Okay. Well, I think that's still the case because now that he's arriving on a Thursday evening, it'll what Chris? What?
Well, my two partners argue. I'll add that he was at UCLA last weekend, and he has previously told me a decision probably comes around early January. Now, there is that window, January 4th to January 8th, for guys to visit. So there is a possibility of him putting a visit in that window or even two.
Make the close, baby. Make the close.
This is a big weekend for Florida State. I think that Adam Fuller has done a really good job with this. He's resonated well with Fentrell Deuce Cypress. FSU got in early on this one. They have pursued him. They have allocated time and resources to go visit him multiple times, multiple coaches. And this is a chance for FSU to make a really good impression. And this would be a huge recruitment if FSU can somehow lock it up here before the dead period. We'll see. We'll see. I know that Ohio State's in the mix here. I know that LSU's in the mix. I believe Auburn's trying to get in too, but FSU got in early. They've been proactive. This has been a well-done professional recruitment so far. And now you have to close. Now you have to close. I think FSU feels pretty good about where it stands. We will see.
I'll be honest. I'm kind of surprised that FSU had staying power in this recruitment. Like, I didn't, you know, I expected them to have interest. But if you look at, like, past years of the portal, this just isn't a recruitment that FSU is usually heavily in the mix for. They take a lot of guys that aren't, you know, maybe the highest ranked, but are, you know, maybe the best fit or value for their team. This guy is, like, number two in the rankings, I think, for the 24/7 Sports transfer portal. Like, this is a legit dude that big-time teams want, and FSU is able to land an OV. Obviously, you know, it's not going to mean much if you don't land him, but I just think it's interesting to see that FSU was able to make so much headway in this recruitment.
And you're talking about this from a positional standpoint.
Yeah. And, you know, he's just a guy, like, it's a guy that LSU is involved with, Ohio State. Like, this, it's not just like FSU's beating up on lesser schools. Like, they are going head to head with big time schools for a top transfer and seem like they are in the top group for him.
But that's changing. Like Hakeem Williams is, they did the same thing with him. It's not going to be, you're not going to be in the mix for everyone that you want to be. You have to play the recruit. It's got to be a good fit. You got to play it and hit the right buttons. They did that with Hakeem. I think they're doing that with Deuce as well. So, like, it's starting to change to where you can attract those kind of guys. You just have to.
Add FSU's playing for keeps with the portal this year. They're going for really good dudes that would take a team from being pretty good to probably very, very good, you know, competing for the league and whatever else comes with that. So we've seen that. If you look at the guys they've recruited, the guys they've been consistent with now over the last 2 to 3 weeks, it's been the same names. I think Brendan did a top 10, and then he did another one, and he dropped one name total, I think, from those two lists. Everybody else on those lists has been consistently the guys FSU has been kind of at the top with, and they're getting those guys on campus. They're truly in it, and they've got a shot in the end for it. The other thing I'll add on to Cypress specific to the cornerback spot and what they've done in the past in the sense of adding depth, versus in this case, going after a guy who can be your number one. Being a number one DB at Florida State means a hell of a lot. Traditionally, historically, it matters. And if you're a guy who has NFL aspirations, and Deuce Cypress certainly does, and you can play an extremely high level on a very bad football team at Virginia, then what can you do on a pretty good one in Tallahassee?
I think that's a sales pitch that FSU makes. This all feels very... Again, we have to see if you can close, what happens. Like, we'll know a lot more about these recruiting efforts and where FSU truly is standing in a week from now, right? If when the dead period occurs and if you can get guys to either sign or commit. But with the transfer portal specifically, this feels very much so like like in the NFL, think about like the LA Rams a couple years ago. They felt like they were a couple pieces away. And they had the core of Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, but they needed a quarterback. And so they went all in on a quarterback. They were okay throwing a lot of money on a pass rusher like Von Miller in free agency. So what this kind of feels like for FSU. It feels like a team that is gearing up to make a big leap forward and is okay being aggressive with, I can't call the transfer portal a mercenary approach anymore, because FSU has shown culturally that it can integrate newcomers into its culture successfully. And that's what they're banking on with being this aggressive this way through, or this cycle. But that's what it very much so feels like, as FSU is trying to acquire about a half dozen to a dozen more pieces of guys who can help them out immediately. Chris has talked about this before. It's no longer about 2 years ago, it was about trying to find 22 players. This past year is about trying to find 40-something players. You're now trying to find 65 to 85 players, if you can go that deep into the roster, and have something that can legitimately contend, that can withstand injuries throughout the season and put you in a place to play for something significant at the end of the year. That's what FSU is doing right now.
Finding guys that can supplant guys in that top 22 and make that first group even better.
We'll see. We'll see. So let's take a quick commercial break. We're going to get into some recruiting scoop on the way back. We'll be back right after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, welcome back to On the Bench. Before we get into all the recruiting scoop, I want to give a shout out to the Turner Group. We are not playing Buyer Sonoma for this episode solely because there's so much to get to, but the Turner Group is our Buyer Sonoma sponsor. I want to make sure you guys give some love to Colin Turner at the Turner Group. He's made that fun, quirky little game possible for us to play consistently and allocate time towards this entire season. And now this offseason, he is enjoying every minute of this coverage at Knowles 24/7, following along and just enjoying FSU being fun and relevant again. So if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the state of Florida, and specifically the Central Florida area, Colin Turner is your man. Reach out to him. You go to the Turner Group. I just put in the Google machine and you will find everything you need to know about the Turner Group. Phone number, website, bunch of 5-star reviews. So thanks, Colin. We appreciate your support very much, sir. Okay, recruiting scoop. Zachary, I'm going to start off with you on this because there's a lot of stuff happening here in the final couple of days as we sprint towards National Signing Day. Let's start off with Conrad Hussey, someone you had scoop for on Wednesday, I think morning, and by Wednesday evening it had changed again. South Florida recruitments are going to South Florida, man.
Yeah, so I, on Wednesday, worked hard, worked the phones. Miami was out of that recruitment, is what Gabby from the Inside the U site tells me. And that's kind of what I had been hearing earlier in the week, is that Miami was not going to be a factor, and it was going to be Florida State versus Penn State, the school that Conrad Hussey's committed to. Well, on Wednesday evening, our Colorado 24/7 site BuffStampede.com reported that Conrad Hussey, along with two other of his St. Thomas Aquinas teammates, would be on Colorado's campus this weekend for an official visit. So, of course, Dion throws a wrench in my reporting, and he's expected to host Hussey on an official visit for his big, you know, official visit weekend that he's tabbed as the biggest visit weekend, recruiting weekend in Colorado history. So definitely going to be a lot of kids on campus this weekend for Colorado, and Hussey's expected to be there. I've confirmed that on my end just now, actually. And, you know, it's a visit, obviously, to monitor. Dion, we don't have to get into detail on this, but Dion's making a push here, and that's the important detail. You know, I think he's not going to make – Hussey's not going to make a final decision until signing day is what I've been told. So that'll be December 21st, next Wednesday. So he's got a little less than a week to make this decision. You know, going into this week, after the FSU official visit this past weekend, felt really good about FSU and their chances to flip Hussey from Penn State. You know, we'll see. I'll check back in over the weekend, and then obviously afterwards is kind of when all the latest you know, developments will be happening. So I'll make sure to check in with my sources on that recruitment. But it's definitely going to be a visit to monitor this weekend for FSU as they try and make the close there over the next week or so.
Okay, let's go to a transfer prospect now, some we've talked about quite a bit on this show, and that's Kyle Morlock, the Division II tight end transfer, someone who has ascended pretty quickly in the recruiting industry. He's a 91 overall grade for 24/7 Sports, put him squarely in four-star territory, someone who's received a lot of interest. Speaking of Deion Sanders, we reported earlier this week that Deion Sanders and Tim Brewster from Colorado were making a play at Kyle Morlock. So what I can report is that I think that that threat has been neutralized from a Florida State perspective. I think that Colorado kind of shot its shot there, and it won't be something I think that Morlock's family pursues very much. So what is really noteworthy is that Mike Norvell, Chris Thompson did an in-home visit with the Morlocks, I think on Wednesday. Days are starting to blur together now at this point.
Yes, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, so that was a Wednesday. Okay, so it went exceptionally well from what I understand, to the point where there was an Auburn official visit that was planned on starting Wednesday. That did not happen. I was skeptical it was going to happen from our standpoint. Our Auburn side has not been able to confirm an official visit. They were doubtful it would happen as well. I don't believe it happened unless something crazy happened. Okay.
They're focused on the FIU transfer is what I was told, the Rivaldo Fairweather.
Fairweather, yeah, he's a little higher on their board for them. But that's good news for FSU. And really, I think what this is going to come down to is, does he take the official to Tennessee this weekend?
Yeah, and we checked with Ryan Callahan. He's our Tallahassee guy. God, I meant Tennessee, and I said Tallahassee.
Oh, boy.
He's our Tennessee site guy, and as of yesterday, Wednesday evening, it was still on. So, yeah, we'll keep checking. We'll see if he shows up in Knoxville or not. They've always been the other serious contender in this from the get-go.
And even if he does show up in Knoxville, like I think FSU's in the driver's seat right now, totally honestly. Like I think FSU – I'll put it this way. I have a pre-write ready to go on Kyle Morlock. Like, that doesn't mean anything. That is – no, I mean, that's my jinxing it. We do pre-writes for all sorts of people, but we only do it if we think there's a decent chance of it happening. So we have that ready to go in case it does happen. But even if he does go to Knoxville and he does visit Tennessee, I still think FSU has the upper hand here. However, that becomes a variable that you add to the equation of like, okay, maybe he really likes it there. That is closer to home. Maybe he fits in well. Maybe he jibes with the coaching staff there. And maybe they are able to put together a plan, a package of like NIL opportunities and just like playing time path. And if you're FSU, if you can somehow get them to not take the official visit to Tennessee, then obviously it's game over, right? But then you get down to like probably maybe like a 60% chance of getting him if he does take the official to Tennessee. So we'll see. But I think FSU's in a good spot there.
Has Tennessee hired an OC or a tight ends coach? Not
to my knowledge. I checked a few days ago, but also
I mean, that's a pretty important variable here is that the coach that originally offered Morlock at Tennessee, Al Scalesh, is now at UCF. As the head coach,
no USF. You guys, USF.
God, we were just slandering the hell out of the school.
You were trying, man, like that night. Clown school in Tampa. Come on, get on campus stadium.
They're both clown schools. Moving on to the next guy.
Second sister goes to UCF,
South Florida. I'll still slander. I don't care. Sorry, sis. Edwin Joseph is a guy that FSU's been on for a long time. They got him on campus this past weekend for an official visit. But are there some concerns here, Brennan?
Oh, sorry. I had my friend's group was sending me pictures of things that I guess I shouldn't have been looking at during the podcast. What? Is there concern here with Edwin Joseph? Yeah, there's some concern. I think FSU would have been leaving the official visit last week, and I think FSU felt really good. It should have felt good. I think things were trending very much so for a commitment from Edwin Joseph. Now, from some of your reporting, some things I can gather, Zach, yeah, I think Miami entered the picture. I'm not super worried about Miami. What I am worried about is Louisville. I think there's a really good chance he takes a official visit to Louisville this weekend. He has a national championship game in Las Vegas on Saturday. So the Louisville OV would be right after, if it does happen, would be right after the Saturday game, go over there for a singular day, really in Louisville, meet the new coach and staff, get to see if that's a good fit potentially. Louisville obviously has a lot of NIL opportunities to offer to players that they want to go after them. I know I'm saying a lot of, we'll see. I mean, this is up in the air now at this point. I thought this was a 99% chance for FSU a few days ago. Today, I probably dropped that down to like 70% or so.
And, whoa. You
know, yeah. Well, I mean, guys take, if he takes an official visit after, yeah, you want to be the last official visit. You don't want to be the second to last, especially for a school that is all in like Louisville.
Yeah. And schools have gone in to see Joseph this week, Penn State, Louisville, Miami's expected to, from what I understand, meet with Edwin's parents on Friday, because Edwin leaves to Las Vegas with his Chaminade team on Friday morning. I believe Edwin's parents will meet with Miami staff for dinner on Friday night. So take that for what it's worth. But I don't think Miami's a huge factor, but I think if they miss on Damari Brown, they might try and make a late big push for Edwin. I think he's kind of their plan B in their class at corner. And Damari's obviously their top option. So, you know, we'll see what happens in that recruitment. That could affect what Miami does with Edwin Joseph. But yeah, if Louisville gets him on an OV, just to note, you know, obviously he's playing all the way out in Las Vegas. The game is set to start, I believe, around 4:30 Eastern. And then he'll, you know, obviously 3-4 hours, whatever. He probably won't make it over to Louisville until, you know, early Sunday morning. So it'll probably be just a 1-day visit to Louisville. But, you know, that still means a lot, that would be the last impression he gets before signing, just, you know, a few days after that trip.
Adding a little intrigue. I like it. There's some intrigue going into that recruitment.
I think he's got to close.
Yep. Speaking of closing, name worth mentioning, you mentioned Damari Brown. Let's talk about, I guess we can talk about Damari Brown. I think Wilt Fong put in a crystal ball to Alabama the other day. I think that's a relatively long been expected to be the leader. I think Miami is going to make a strong push for both Damari and Devontae. I think, I'll let you talk about this recruitment. You have your finger on the pulse of it, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, I have my finger on the pulse more so of Devontae Brown. He took in home visits from FSU and Miami yesterday. He started the day in Orlando. Mike Norvell and Marcus Woodson, I believe, stopped by. And then he drove down to South Florida in his home in Broward County, and he got a visit from Miami's coaching staff last night. So a guy that Miami has really started to push for. He told me yesterday that he did not have a planned visit for this weekend. But obviously that could have changed after the Miami in-home. I think they're trying to get him on campus this weekend. He said ideally he would like to have his decision made next week. But obviously there could be some factors that could push that back or even make it closer. So we'll see. FSU is definitely, this isn't just a, you know, an easy one for FSU to win now. There is competition. And it seems like Miami's really, you know, pushing for both Devontae and his younger brother, obviously, and Damari Brown.
People are going to want to know about the Cedric Baxter recruitment. At this point, Texas, I don't think FSU's totally done with it yet, but I think for I'll put it this way. If something develops here, it would be, I think, monumental at this point. Like, it would take a pretty big swing for this to be a thing.
I was told basically, you know, the in-home and just this final push of the recruitment is kind of a shot in the dark for FSU.
You play to string out when it's a kid of that caliber and you've invested as much time, and he did actually step on your campus for an official. You just play it on out.
And so much, so much of recruiting now is especially someone of that caliber, it's maybe not the first go around. It's the second go around that you're trying to, that's why you continue to put an effort, even if it does look bleak for the immediate. But yeah, we're not going into this weekend or next week feeling any sort of like real optimism about Cedric Baxter. Person we are feeling optimistic for, and this is a recruitment that is going to be fun to monitor just based on like where this dude sets foot this weekend. That'll be extremely telling. You want to talk about making a statement. If you're able to withstand local Auburn making a huge push in every way imaginable for Keldrick Falk, four-star defensive end, got a big bump in our recent rankings. I think he's like 101st or so nationally now. If you're able to withstand that late push with a new coaching staff and a very, very all-in invested Auburn program, that would be sizable for Florida State. This is a recruitment that's going to be fun to monitor. It may provoke a little bit of anxiety, but as of Thursday morning, as we're recording this, Zach, where's FSU stand? Are they going to get Keldrick Falk on campus in Tallahassee this weekend?
Yeah, from everything I'm hearing, I think it's really likely. I'm going to put out a report this morning that states similar. Based on some conversations I've had within the last 24 hours, I think Falk's plan is to be in Tallahassee this weekend. Whether that is for one day, 2 days, I'm not sure. He hasn't really ironed out the plans yet from what I understand. But I believe that he'll be in Tallahassee this weekend. And that's, you know, obviously huge with Auburn trying to make a late push, like you said. They're trying to get him on an official visit, whereas, you know, his FSU visit would be an unofficial because he took his official to FSU back in the summer. He did it as well to Auburn, but obviously they have a new head coach in place, which allows them to run it back for another OB if possible. But right now, I don't think that's going to happen. Another note is, I believe the original plan for FSU is to go in home with Falk on Friday. That could still be the case, but I'm told there's a possibility they come by actually on Thursday today as we're recording this. That was still being ironed out last night, but it's something that FSU, you know, could shake up. And I think that a lot of that depends on, you know, what other stops Mike Norvell needs to make across the country.
Iron's daisied out.
All right. You just had to ruin it.
Dane doesn't think so. He loves Iron Daisy. Do we have anything else? Those are pretty good. He wonders why he has BN problems. Chris, anything you want to add to all of this? Not the Dane's poop.
I mean, you guys talked about pretty much everybody. Edwin Joseph, I expect Norvell and Coach Woodson by today to see.
Do you remember when Dane blew up the bathroom for 30 minutes?
I think he just got in a... Oh, Dane's going to be probably really mad at us for talking about this. And also people who hate this conversation, it's another fork in the road.
Don't go in detail. I'm just saying I don't think we're ever
allowed. I think Dane just got like in a trance. I don't think he was blown up the bathroom. I think he just forgot where he was and just like spaced out for 30 minutes.
He did come out. He's like, how long have I been in there?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
He time traveled.
He Vecna'd. All right. For Chris Nee, Zach Blaustein, I'm Brendan Sinon. What?
You have two other notes at the bottom of your...
We're not talking about... I don't want to get into team stuff right now.
Oh, wow.
Do you want me to real quick? I mean, I don't know. I was trying to think of a question. Okay. Okay, for Chris Nee, Zach Blaustein, I'm Brendan Sinon, who's been on the bench. You want to read about team stuff? You want to hear about it? You sign up to Knowles247.com. We do a great job covering this team. I'm sorry if you hate hearing that. Goodbye.